Welcome to the 1 John Bible Study Podcast, where we'll dive into the book of 1 John verse by verse to see what truths God is communicating to us. This podcast is brought to you by Brian Androsian from New City Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. For more information about New City, visit newcityrdu.com, or you can follow us on all social media platforms at newcityrdu. Thanks for joining us. Now let's jump into 1 John.
Welcome back to our Bible study through the book of 1 John. Today we're going to be in 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 13, as we're moving into the last chapter of the book. A little recap from last week. Last week we talked about the requirement that's placed on believers or followers of Jesus to love one another, to love other believers. That if we love God, it's required of us to love our brother and sister. And we talked about what to do with people that are difficult to love. It's true, we're all going to face times where we struggle to love specific people, but what do we do in those times? Are we just okay with the fact that they're difficult to love, or okay with not loving them, or what can we actually do to love those that we struggle to love? We talked about this idea that our love for God is revealed in how we love others, that we can't claim to love God while withholding God's love from other people. We can't claim to love God while not showing his love, the love that we've experienced from him, to others. So with that thought in mind, as we closed out chapter 4 last week, today we're going to move into the beginning of the final chapter of 1 John, starting in 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, and it says this. It says, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father also loves the one born of him. This is how we know that we love God's children, when we love God and obey his commands." So here John is continuing his thoughts on how believers are to love one another. And he tells us that everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father must also love those born of him. It's kind of similar to an earthly sense. If you love somebody, you're going to love their children. You're not going to love somebody and hate their children. And he's saying similarly here, if you love God, you will love those that are born of him. And those born of him are followers of Jesus, are people that believe, that have confessed Jesus as the Christ. If you claim to love God, you'll love his children as well, which are other believers. And in verse 2, we see that whether or not people love the children of God can be determined by their love for God and obedience to his commands. So this is how we can determine if we love the children of God. It's if we love God and keep his commands, then we're going to be loving those that follow him. Now, we can't love God and keep his commands without loving his children. We can't claim to keep God's commands if we're not willing to love his children, which we're instructed to over and over and time again in this one little book alone in the Bible. Then he continues in verse 3. He says, "For this is what love for God is, to keep his commands. And his commands are not a burden, because everyone who has been born of God conquers the world. This is the victory that has conquered the world, our faith." It's so interesting that John says that God's commands aren't burdensome. He's saying that this should be the desire of a believer, not simply a command to follow. That God's commands, specifically this one, we're talking about loving others, this shouldn't be just in a long list of commands from God that's just something that we try and do, and we do because we have to do. But this should be something that, as believers, if we've experienced the love of God, that we should want to do, we should desire to. It's not a burden to love other people. If we've actually truly experienced God's love, we can't experience it without wanting to show it to others. So he's saying this shouldn't be a burden. This shouldn't be a thing that's a bummer, that's a unfortunate thing that we have to do, but this should be something that we desire to do as believers. So this should be something that we're excited to do, to show God's love to others. And when he talks about overcoming the world, he's talking about it in a personal sense, that those who have been born of God have overcome their worldly tendencies to satisfy their own sinful desires. That as a result of that, they're free to show love to others as God commanded. And this repeated idea of love isn't that it's not meant to be a burden for others. It should be something that we desire and want to do. That John isn't repeating this idea of love over and over in this book to try and convince his readers or try and convince us that as followers of Jesus, we should love. And this is just, I'm reminding you again, like this is, I know you don't want to, but this is something we should do. But he's saying that if you're a follower of Jesus, if you've truly experienced his love, this should be something that you're excited to do. This should be something that you want to do, not just because God commanded it, but because we've experienced his love in such a huge way that we can't help to show it to others. We can't help but to show it to others. Then he continues in verse 5. He said, who is the one that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So John is reiterating that the only ones that believe in Jesus only the ones that believe in Jesus have overcome the world. That these false teachers that we've been talking about throughout this whole book, that they're still subject to the world and their worldly desires, but the ones that believe in Jesus have overcome the world, have overcome their worldly or their earthly desires. He continues in verse 6. He says, Jesus Christ, he is the one who came by water and blood, not by water only, but by water and by blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three are in agreement. So these verses are can be a little bit difficult to understand because there are a number of different ways that they can be interpreted. There are a number of different ways that people kind of have interpreted these few verses from John here. But what seems most plausible, at least to me, is that when John is referring to water and blood, he's referring to kind of the start of Jesus' ministry, which was him being baptized by John the Baptist. That's kind of seen as the start to his ministry, being baptized in water. And the blood referring to his death. That kind of marks the beginning and end of his ministry, of his earthly ministry. And it appears that these false teachers agreed with the portion about Jesus' baptism, which is why John says that not by water only. He's kind of saying in a sense of, we agree that Jesus came by water through this baptism from John the Baptist. That's something that we agree on. But he also came by blood, and that's signifying that his death is what brought about the possibility for salvation, which is something that, as we've talked about, these false teachers disagreed with. So he's saying that Jesus came by water and by blood, by this baptism that was the start of his ministry, but also by blood, that his death is what brought about salvation. His death is what brought about our faith. So John here is describing the Jesus that his readers believed in, and he's reinforcing their ideas, or reinforcing their beliefs, and talking about how they differ from these false teachers. This has been a repeated theme throughout this entire book. Then he continues in verse 9 and 10. He says, if we accept human testimony, God's testimony is greater, because it is God's testimony that he has given about his Son. The one who believes in the Son of God has this testimony within himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony God has given about his Son. So John is telling us that God's testimony is always greater than human testimony. That what God says happens, what God says is true, is always greater than what us and our earthly minds and our finite minds and our sinful natures say is true. So John again says that those that don't believe God's word make him a liar, which is something that we've talked about, this idea of making God a liar a few times in this book. They make God a liar because they don't believe his testimony. That this is a direct statement against the false teachers and those who are trying to make Jesus into something that he's not. As we talked about previously, if you're adding or taking away from Jesus, you're making him a liar. If we're changing what God says, trying to change what God says or what God did with Jesus, and trying to say that he did something different, trying to say that his death's not what brought about salvation, or if we try and add or take anything away from him, then we're making God a liar. This isn't a thing that should be taken lightly. This idea of taking away or adding things from Jesus isn't a light idea, but he's saying in doing that, then we're making God, and we're making his testimony, we're making God a liar. Then he continues in verses 11 through 13 as we close out this section. It says, and this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. The one who has the Son has life. The one who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I have written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. So John finishes up this section by reaffirming their belief in eternal life that is offered through Jesus. Those that are in Jesus have eternal life, and those that aren't, don't. John is writing to his believers, to these believers, to affirm their faith and to remind them that they're believing in the one true God. And again, like as we've seen throughout this entire book, he's not writing this to correct them, or he's not writing them to say that you're wrong, but he's writing them to encourage them. He's saying that, hey, if just as a reminder, you're believing in the one true God. You're believing in the right way to salvation. And that these other people, these other groups that are trying to change what you believe, that are trying to bring in these false teachings or false beliefs, they're wrong. Like, keep believing what you've been believing. You're doing everything right. Just keep going with it and don't be influenced by these people that are trying to lead you astray. So as we finish up this section, as we near the end of the book, which we'll be finishing up next week, this is the question I want us to think about. We talked about how God's command shouldn't be seen as a burden if we truly understand God's love. But if we're being honest, we're imperfect. If we're being honest, we're human, and there are things that we can struggle with at times. And so this is the question I want you to think about. It's this. It's, what commands from God do you struggle with? What commands from God do you struggle with? What do you read in the Bible, whether it's in the book of 1 John or whether it's anywhere else in the Bible? What commands do you hear or see from God that you struggle to understand or struggle to keep? What about following Jesus? What about following God is difficult? Because we know that it's not always easy. We know that every command is not going to be easy. That yes, we've experienced God's love and we should want to show it to others, but there's going to be times where we don't. There's going to be times where things aren't easy. And we understand that, I think as followers of Jesus, we can understand kind of at a broad level that God's commands aren't a burden as a kind of general sense. But there are times where specific commands in specific seasons of life, specific times, can feel like a burden. So what of God's commands can be difficult for you to follow or can be difficult for you to apply? We all have different struggles, so I think we got to be honest that about what those are. And that's the first step to overcoming it. So what commands from God do you struggle with? Where do you struggle with God? As you're reading the Bible and reading about him and praying and talking with him, what has he told you to do or what have you heard from him that you struggle with? As we wrap up this section, this is the main idea I want us to remember from this section of 1 John. It's that confidence in God's love alleviates the burden in following him. Confidence in God's love alleviates the burden of following him. There are times when following God can be difficult and when we don't fully understand what he's telling us and where things may seem like they don't make sense or where we read commands that don't seem to really make sense or that we don't fully understand. But having confidence in God's love is going to help alleviate that burden. It's going to help make it easier to follow him. Because once we understand that God loves us, that God loves you, that then we can start to understand his commands that they're not meant to be a burden, but they're meant to give life. That there's no command from God that's pointless. There's no command that we read in the Bible that doesn't have a reason behind it. But if we can start to understand that his commands are meant to give life and are meant to give us freedom and are meant to give us life in him, then it can start to help alleviate the burden that can sometimes we can feel when following him. It doesn't mean we'll be perfect, but once we can start to grasp the love that God has for us, we can start to understand why he has these commands in the first place. Once we start to understand God's love, we can start to understand why he gives us these commands and how they can start to give us life. But this doesn't mean that we're never going to struggle with it. So we need to acknowledge those areas that we do struggle, but also keep in mind that God's love, that God has this love for us that we can never honestly fully understand, at least while here on earth. We can never fully understand the love that God has for us. But once we start to experience it, once we start to acknowledge and start having some confidence in God's love, then that'll help alleviate the burden that can sometimes feel as if that we can sometimes feel when following him. Remember that confidence in God's love alleviates the burden in following him. And that's what we see in 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 13.
Thanks again for joining us for this Bible study. New City Church is a non-denominational church in Raleigh, North Carolina. For more information, please visit newcityrdu.com or you can follow us on all social media platforms at newcityrdu.